This meeting of the Conference Committee on House File 956 will come to order. I think we've been talking about lots of things. We'd like to go over a number of provisions tonight, maybe work for an hour or so, and see how much we can accomplish, and still talking about a whole lot of issues. But Representative Hortman, do you...
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move some sections of the bill that I think are pretty non-controversial and will be easy for us to find some agreement on. The House and the Senate both have the Guaranteed Energy Savings Agreement, so I would move the Senate language at Section 1, page R1.
Okay, so we'll just go through this section by through the thing section by section. So Representative Hortman moves the Senate position on R1, Section 1. Is there any discussion on that? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Senator. Are we going to be taking any public testimony on these sections?
If there are desires on any of those, this one is kind of the same, isn't it? Or pretty.
Anybody wants to say anything for it or against it?
Yeah. Get our attention if you want to comment on any of these things. Are these identical? Do they look identical?
They're identical.
Okay. If you can state that when you know that. Representative Hortman moves the Senate position on R1, Section 1. Discussion, if not all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We were very quiet in the Senate side, I noticed.
I just got here, John.
I heard Kevin say, and I thought,
I'll give you an aye.
All right. The next item would be Senator Marty, your planning strategy for sustainable energy language. It's on page R1, Senate Section 1. On page R55, Senate Section 2. And on page R56, Senate Section 3. I believe those are all the components of your...
Well, the third one was, they were all in our bill. It doesn't,
And just, for members of the committee, what Senator Marty, my understanding is these provisions were pretty important to you. I don't think they're something that are likely to cause controversy in the House. They basically outline a work plan for the Legislative Energy Commission. Senator Marty and I and others serve on, and they don't really compel others to do anything. They just compel the examination of certain issues.
And the Section 3 on page R56, as Mr. Fuller points out, was a separate item from that. That was more with the energy efficiency work that was in Senator DeVos' provision.
Okay, I can amend my motion.
We'll just take the first two parts of that?
Take the first two parts.
Is there a discussion on those two parts? If not, on Senator Representative Hortman's motion on those two sections, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion prevails.
There's some definitions on pages R10 and R11. They are nearly identical, with the exception of the fact that the House has a definition for standby charges, and the Senate does not have a definition. So I would move the House language at Section 8 on page R10, and it continues on page R11.
And that's, you're not counting them in the next. Okay. Representative Hortman moves the House position on the bottom of R10 through page R11. Is there a discussion, Mr. Evans?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Rick Evans with Xcel Energy. The definition of standby charges, which is the one difference in the bill, defines standby charges as fixed costs. And depending on when we get to the provisions on net metering, I think you're going to create some additional ambiguity, because standby charges and fixed costs, while they're often used interchangeably, are not exactly the same thing. And so I guess I would just caution the committee about fixing that definition in statute before we get to the rest of the discussion, where that definition will become possibly controversial or problematic.
That's a good question, Mr. Chair. Mr. Evans, what about this definition of standby charge isn't accurate?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the problem is that if you talk to 10 people, you get 10 different answers to that question. Standby charges could be deemed the charges for the that the utility would charge a customer for having energy generation that has to be available on standby for the customer that is generating his or her own energy. Fixed charges are similar but not necessarily the same, and there are parts in the bill as we go further where I think the definition, where we talk about fixed costs, and then other parts where we talk about standby charges. And so I'm not necessarily saying that it isn't workable to do it this way, but once you fix this in statute, I realize you could go back and change it. I guess I'm just warning you that this might become controversial sometime down the road when we start looking at parts of the bill which refer to standby charges in one paragraph and fixed costs in another paragraph. And the question will arise, are they the same or are they different?
Mr. Evans, is there a definition of standby charge in PUC rules or regulations?
I don't know the answer to that.
Mr. Evans, your company charges standby charges to certain people, right? So isn't there a definition somewhere of what a standby charge is?
Well, I probably shouldn't have gotten up here as any kind of an expert, but what I can tell you is that from talking with our regulatory people, they say that one guy's standby charge is another guy's fixed cost, and it is a matter of controversy. It probably would bear some clarification in the statute. I'm just not sure that's what this definition does.
Well, in that case, Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language on page R10 and R11 and leave off standby charge for now, and I would ask that Mr. Evans suggest to us a definition of standby charge, which is a term that we're going to be using in other sections. If this one isn't accurate, maybe to propose some language it would be.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll do it.
Representative Horton moves the Senate language on for those sections.
Section 3
and on R10 and R11. Further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
There's a section where we provide an off-ramp. In the House bill, we have an off-ramp for the investor-owned utilities at 3%. The Senate has 5%. Perhaps that's something we should be taking testimony on before we move. Let me skip ahead to uniform contract. Page R16, Senate Section 10.
Did you want to deal with just the Section 10 and the senator?
I think that would be the language that would be appropriate to move at this point.
Representative Hortman moves on R16, Section 10. Is there a discussion of that? Not all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
On page R29, there's a provision related to uniform reports. This is a provision that was in the House bill. It was not in the Senate bill. It is something that was requested on behalf of the, I believe, the wind industry to get a better idea across utilities of the way that people are meeting different standards. And so I think this language is important and would move the House language at Section 21 on page R29.
Representative Hortman moves Section 21 on page R29, the House language. Is there a discussion of that? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
The next piece I'd like to move is the CERTS funding. On pages R32 and 33. When I looked at the language, I thought that maybe the Senate language was just a little bit more clear in terms of the way the dates and the effective date was laid out. I mean, folks can look at, on page R33, the CERTS funding provisions are side by side. I would offer to move the Senate language, which is section 1, starts on page R32 and ends on page R33. Unless there's somebody here who would like to make an argument that the House language is better.
Any discussion of that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they. We did the CERTS folks here. They had preference for one of them.
I don't think they're here.
Okay.
Spend their money on something else.
I think they think their other bill is moving, but I don't think that it is, so I'd like to move this language.
You should ding them like $1, man. just to set them.
Representative Hortman moves the Senate language on the CERTS aligned on page R32 and 33. Further discussion? If not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Okay, Senator Mark, you also had a bunch of language which I think was pretty much the same of what was in House File 1301, which is currently in our body, I believe, sitting in rules. The energy savings policy goal, Senate Section 1 and 2 on pages R33 through R36. There's two other pieces of it. Senate Section 2 on page R47 and
48.
Yeah. And at the beginning, when I tried to move it earlier, I think you indicated that Section 3 on R56 was part of this energy savings policy goal provision.
So
should I repeat that?
Yes, if you could, one more time.
Senate Sections 1 and 2 on pages R33 through 36. So I guess it's actually Section 1, and then it's a different Section 1 because you have articles.
Section 2 on page R36 is waste heat. You mean everything up to that?
No, I think I mean to include that.
Oh, you want to include waste heat?
So
okay.
All the Senate text starting at line 24.5 on R33, and all of what's on R34, all of what's on R35, and all of what is on R36. Why don't I just move that chunk first?
Representative Hortman moves that.
That would be the first third of your energy savings policy goal bill.
Any further discussion on that? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Okay, the second chunk of your energy savings policy goal bill is on pages R47 and 48. On R47, it starts in the middle of the page at section 2. And then all the rest of the language on R47 on the Senate side, and all of the language on R48 up to the last line, not including, I don't know. Do we need to include section 2 that continues over onto page R49?
Part of it was this.
Is that in PACE?
Section 1 at the bottom of R48.
It's PACE?
Okay. Yeah, so not, okay, not section 1. So stopping at 29.6 on page R48.
Okay. On that motion, any further discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
And then the last piece, I think, is the one I tried to move before.
Right.
On page R56. Starts at section 3. I think that's all of it. It's section 3 on page R56.
Further discussion on that? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
The Made in Minnesota provisions, my understanding where they are contained is on R37, Senate Section 1. And then on R40, Senate Section 2. On R41, Senate Section 3.
Is the bottom of...
There's more. On R42, Section 4. On R43, Section 5. Section 5 is a long section. And I believe it, the Section 5 ends on page R45.
Made
I believe that is the entirety of the Senate language on Made in Minnesota.
Representative Whitman, you had discussed something about the solar thermal provision that you talked about that. Did you want to pursue that or not at this time? Or?
Mr. Chair, I know there was some discussion about the fact that we have a solar thermal provider up in Alexandria. Are real, and we have another solar thermal provider in places further north than Alexandria.
Pine River is real, and Alexandria is Solar Skies.
Okay, Solar Skies and are real, and that there was perhaps a way that we can draft some language that we could maybe have for an amendment at a future meeting to provide some benefit to the solar thermal community from the Made in Minnesota funding, because those are also Made in Minnesota solar resources. I don't think that we have that language available at this meeting.
So you want to go, you're moving the Senate Made in Minnesota language on those multiple pages.
That's my motion, but I'm sure there's discussion to that motion.
Discussion.
Representative Garofalo.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, does the with this incentive, which customers would this apply to in Minnesota who would be eligible to apply for this incentive?
Somebody that can speak to that?
Yeah, if somebody wants to speak to that, I believe that the Senate language had it, so it was...
John Fuller, and Mr. Cervenic can come up to the table.
Go ahead. I wish there was two chairs here for Mr. Long.
You can pull one over.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Pull a short one so people behind him can still see.
Yeah. Gary Cervenic with Silicon Energy.
And Bob Long representing 10K Solar.
Mr. Chairman, members, I believe the Senate language applies to customers in the investor-owned utility area and exempts customers in the co-op and muni service areas.
Thank you. Is it 15 million? Is that what it is?
It's what?
Is it 15 million?
15 million, yes.
Maybe since we didn't have this exact same language. In the House version, we had 5 million from RDF. Maybe if you could explain the funding provisions in the Senate version.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members. The Senate version has 5% of the money from SIP allocation to the from the investor-owned utility. Under current law, utilities can spend up to 5% of their SIP money for solar. Historically, Xcel Energy has done that. They can also apply to the commissioner to spend up to 10% of their money with commission approval. In addition, Minnesota Power has a program that they spend 5% of their SIP allocation as well. And so what would happen is under the Senate language, 5% of the SIP money for the investor-owned utilities, which totals from my understanding from the department of approximately $3 million, would come from SIP payments. The final amount, $12 million, would come from the RDF. And Mr. Chairman, just for the members to know that currently under current law, $5 million is allocated annually for a Made in Minnesota program from RDF.
If I could ask if any of the representatives here from investor-owned utilities could speak to what that 5% of SIP is currently spent on and what that what you're doing now that you wouldn't be able to do if we took that money and put it in this pot.
Madam Chair, Rick Evans from Xcel Energy. We currently run a program we call Solar Rewards. It is a program that is an upfront rebate program. So when a customer installs solar panels, receives a price for that, then we pay. And the current program I think is $1.50 per watt installed. So add up the number of watts that are the capacity of the solar panels they're putting up, and we give them a rebate, if you will, of $1.50 per watt. The difference would be under whichever incentive program comes out of this process, it would become a production-based incentive, meaning we would not pay an upfront payment to pay down the cost of the solar panels. We would pay a per kilowatt hour incentive over time, so the customer would receive money each month as a credit on their bill, typically, that would represent how much energy they actually produced. We would use, so that's how that money would be spent under either of the incentive programs in the bill.
Mr. Evans, we were just talking about the Made in Minnesota. So in this case, you would just take 5% of your SIP and dump it into an account.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You're right. I was thinking of the other incentive program. The 5 million. Well, actually, and the reason I was is because the 5 million that comes out of SIP now is what's used for our solar rewards program. The money for that incentive program would come to an end, and a new incentive program using different sources of money depending on how the bill comes out would be used for that. The other $5 million that now currently goes to the Made in Minnesota program is also made as an upfront rebate that is administered by Xcel in conjunction with its solar rewards program and paid to the same customers that use a Minnesota product. As I understand, under these bills, that $5 million would be paid to the department, and they would run the Made in Minnesota incentive program with that money.
So right now, the 5% of your SIP funding that you're allowed to spend on solar, you're using for the Solar Works program?
Solar Rewards program, yes.
And so if this bill becomes law, then that 5% that you're currently spending on solar rewards, you wouldn't be spending on solar rewards anymore. It would be in the Made in Minnesota pot.
That's correct.
So for Otter Tail. What are you currently doing with your 5% of SIP you can spend on solar?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hortman, Otter Tail does not currently have a solar program, so that 5% is being spent on SIP. And with this change, we would spend 5% on Made in Minnesota.
So in the opinion of Mr. Chair,
go ahead. Keep going.
In the opinion of Otter Tail Power, what is a more effective expenditure of your conservation dollars, on solar or on conservation?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hortman, most effective in terms of what?
In terms of reducing energy consumption or eliminating carbon pollution.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hortman, the honest answer is probably SIP, but we're willing to give solar a try, and so we're here to say we're ready to do that.
Do you not have any problem with the Made in Minnesota funding mechanism?
We do not. No, we support.
Is there anybody here from Minnesota?
Yes.
Nobody's here from Minnesota Power?
Simonson's here from Minnesota Power.
Hey, Rick. Madam Chair, maybe just clarify one thing on the SIP. Bob Long again from Tenke Solar. Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This question about SIP, some of you will recall, I don't know exactly what year it was, I think it was, it may have been 2010, there was an agreement made and legislature adopted in statute, and Bill Grant could cite the statute, but it basically says that every utility in the state can spend without any approval up to 5%, but they can also spend an additional 5%, so a total of 10% of their SIP budget on solar if the second 5% has to be approved by the commissioner in their SIP plans. What happened historically is XL was the first utility, and they created solar rewards using the full 10%. So that $5 million that Mr. Evans talked about utilized the full 10% of their SIP budget allowed by statute. And then other utilities in different portions have done smaller programs. So a number of the municipal utilities like Austin Utility, Owatonna, I think, is in, Minnesota Power is now in, using some of their current SIP dollars for solar at different levels. So that helps.
Does anybody in the room know anything about Minnesota Power's current expenditure of their 5% of SIP dollars that they could spend on solar?
Mr. Cervenic.
Mr. Chairman, Gary Cervenic from Silicon Energy. I believe Minnesota Power currently spends $360,000 on their SIP program for solar. And they have an upfront rebate program as well.
Mr. Cervenic, do you know right now if their program is limited to Made in Minnesota panels?
No, it's not.
Is there further discussion of this? And by the way, Mr. Cervenic, you mentioned $5 million that's currently in Made in Minnesota. How many more years does that go, and how does that, who gets that?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there are 2 years left on the Made in Minnesota program at $5 million each year. It's run by Xcel Energy. And perhaps Mr. Evan would be more knowledgeable about their allocation, but from what I understand is they have released the allocation of the full $10 million under their current solar, in conjunction with their current solar rewards program. So people are applying for it right now. There is a line. They're making allocations and awards based upon that right now.
And so all of that $10 million for the next 2 years, the 5 and 5 is already in play right now.
That would be correct.
Further discussion?
Mr. Fuller? Mr. Chairman, there is a sort of an unresolved issue, which is, does this money really count against their solar SIP? It's not explicit in the language. So if you intend that this transfer of money that represents a percentage of their spending is to be counted against their authorized solar SIP, you might want to provide that. I'm not saying whether you should or you shouldn't, but it's certainly not clear that this would, that they couldn't otherwise do maybe this plus the 10. Because
in other words, they could in theory spend 15, XL could spend 15 on of their solar, 15% of their solar on SIP, 10 for what they're doing now and 5 for this.
It would be an unclear situation if you didn't specify, because they're transferring the money to the state. Are they really spending it on solar? SIP is just a transfer that's outside the contemplation of the what they call the solar SIP 510 language.
Mr. Chair, I'm Mike Bull with the Center for Energy and Environment, and I think Mr. Fuller explained it pretty well. We're an organization that works on energy efficiency policy and service delivery, and one of the things we're interested in would be to have an explicit reference in the statute to so that this 5% SIP draw on SIP for Minnesota made would count to the would be counted under the cap for the under 216B2411, the one John just referred to, so that there isn't, it's not an additional 5%, it's under that same.
So you'd be keeping no more than 5% being set aside, or no more than 10% if they got permission.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Mr. Chair, I guess I don't know if the proper procedure would be for me to withdraw my motion until an amendment can be drafted to fix the language in the Senate version, or if I should move the language and somebody can draft an amendment to the language.
Yeah, I was going to say, get resolved what you can resolve. If you want to move this, and then if you want amendment to that, if we want amendment to that, we can ask for that to be drafted. Plus, if you want to do something with solar thermal, you can do that as well later.
I would move the main Minnesota language that I referenced with the anticipation there'll be a solar thermal amendment and an amendment clarifying that we're not talking about any more than 5% of SIP going to solar.
Further discussion on that motion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Host and staff can work on those amendments.
So let's talk about PACE, Property Assessed Clean Energy. Both the House and Senate had this kind of language. The Senate had more sections in the side-by-side. I don't know if we failed to pick up all of our sections from our House File 1147 that we intended to, or if they didn't make it to the side-by-side. I think there were some things that we had that weren't in the side-by-side. Minnesota Power, well, they missed the boat. Okay. We're on PACE.
Mr. Garvey, we were just interested in knowing how Minnesota Power spends its solar SIP money, and I think we were told you probably spent $300,000 and something in solar.
That sounds about right, yeah.
We could ask you if you have any complaint about shifting that over the Made in Minnesota program, but we already adopted that provision, so we hope you don't mind. So on the PACE sections, on pages R48 and 49, I would move Senate sections 1, 2, and 3.
R48.
And R48. Section 1. And at the bottom, it starts with section 2, bottom of R48. And then on R49 is section 3. And then there's another chunk of PACE on R50, section 4. And section 5. And I think at the bottom, I don't know if that sunset applies to PACE or that section 3. So just sections 4 and 5 on R50.
Is there a discussion of the...
I understand there's... I didn't get it all. Mr. Eliff maybe knows where there's some more space.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, there's an additional section of PACE beginning on the last line of page R57 and at the top of R58 through line 36.3.
Okay, I move that too.
Okay. Is there further discussion on the PACE provisions in the Senate bill? If not, on that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
There are two studies that were identical in both of the bills. The Senate and the House both had a value of on-site storage study and a value of solar thermal study on pages R52 and 53.
Identical.
So I guess I don't know.
Well, the Senate had a cap on the expenditure, I believe, in them.
All right. I would move the House language on the. Yeah, I'm going to move the House language on first the value of on-site energy storage.
Representative Hortman moves the House position on the bottom of R52, the value of energy storage, which is happening. Any discussion? Not all those in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
I would move the House language for the value of solar thermal study at section 43 on page R53.
Further discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Those are all the areas where I think that we can fairly, in short order, move language. I think that members of the committee should probably think in more depth about the topics of net metering before we move any language. And the third-party ownership, the community solar gardens, the value of solar tariff. I think those are close to a situation where we could move language, but perhaps we should have some conversations with staff offline about what we need to do to fix those up.
And then there's some of the bigger issues, the incentive, I mean, the solar standards and so on, we still need to have some more discussion of.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hoffman.
Representative, thank you. I appreciate the discussion, and thank you, Representative Portman, for bringing up the community solar third-party net metering and brings on the conversational buy-all sell-off. And I think systemically we need to look at that as a global look. I mean, you have so many players involved in this, and there are so many systems out there that have tried and failed and tried and tried and keep trying, that I think there's enough people, especially in this room, that forget more in a day than any of us will ever understand. And I think it would be beneficial to the state that we actually, you know, impose further look at how this system would look regarding rules. So rather than piecing it, I like your idea of sitting down with the staff and figuring out what needs to be done. But I think we need to look at this from the 30,000 foot level down. So that's just my thoughts.
Other comments? Does hosts always have such good air conditioning?
Wow.
I don't understand. Tomorrow's going to be a little bit unbearable around here, I think
so. Do you have any other things you want to do right now?
What I wonder, Mr. Chair, is if there's anybody who wanted to offer any testimony in favor of or opposed to any provisions of either bill that they feel very, very strongly about that we haven't already heard in committee, or if you didn't want to go in that direction tonight, you could wrap up for tonight.
Briefly, if something like, are there any particular ones you want, or...
I'm interested in the community solar, what the problems folks would see in this Senate language. I think there's some improvements that could be made in the Senate language, but I'm not really a technician on community solar, and I don't know if there's somebody here who could speak to improvements that could be made in the Senate language.
Anybody want to speak to that?
R18 and 19. Sure. Well, looking at the language that was in the Senate version of the bill.
Could you please give your full name?
Yes. Yeah. Of course. I'm Erin Stojan-Rocklow. I'm with Fresh Energy. Looking at the Senate version of the Community Shared Solar Bill, we had a few concerns. We are currently in conversations with Xcel about exactly how to resolve those concerns. Let's see. I think that we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago about basically situating the community shared solar program under the net metering statute, basically 216B164. We also talked about not having any specific size limits to the program, which was not specified in statute, and I think that was an area of agreement. We talked a little bit about the issue of geography, and I think that we're still talking about that, but I think we're moving closer to a resolution on that. One of the other larger issues was this question of which rate was to prevail, whether it would be a value of solar rate or a net metering rate, and whether customers would have the ability to choose. I think that remains an outstanding issue. We want to be sure that since a value of solar rate has not been tried and tested in Minnesota, we want to make sure that customers are able to have net metering as a fallback. And I think that that's a summary of most of the issues. Otherwise, the other concern that we had was that we wanted to be sure that the current language basically directs the Public Utilities Commission to review an application for such a program, and we wanted to be sure that the Public Utilities Commission had sufficient background and context to understand exactly what the program was designed to do. And so we had offered some language to hopefully clarify that.
Questions? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to, I want to make sure that the public utility definition here of 116C779, are those IOUs?
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, I think the public utility subject to section 116C779 is the one that has to have an RDF fund.
So it's just Xcel then?
And then it says on 1128 and 1129 that other public utilities may file an application at their election. So that would mean Minnesota Power, Alliance, and Otter Tail would, under the Senate's language, have community solar gardens at their option, but would not be required. That's my understanding of the Senate language. Yes.
Is that correct?
That is my understanding as well.
Thank you.
And you're working with Xcel on this?
That's correct.
Further discussion on that?
Mr. Chair, I'd just say that there was a lot more language on the House side, so it seemed to me when I looked at the side-by-side and I saw how little there was in the Senate, I presume there were a lot of items that were not there that was in the House side, and I was trying to get a sense of that.
Yes.
Missing?
Chair Hortman, some of that is the direction that we were talking about before to the Public Utilities Commission, just kind of giving them some parameters about exactly how the program should be structured. I should mention also, I've just been ticking through these items in my head, one additional difference in the language in the Senate version is that Xcel actually stipulates a minimum subscription size of 1 kilowatt. That's about $4,000 worth of investment, which is quite a hurdle for people to engage in a community solar program. We would prefer to move that down a bit to 200 watts, which is consistent with the community shared solar program in Wright Hennepin, but that's another item that we can continue to discuss.
What level is in here now?
1 kilowatt.
And Mr. Chairman?
Representative Graffel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And would the, for example, if someone wanted to set up a solar garden with the Made in Minnesota panels, that would be allowed under this, or is it silent on that language?
I believe it would be allowed.
Further discussion of this?
So, Mr. Chairman, in that case, would the customer get it, or would the Xcel Energy get it?
The incentive?
Yes, because it's an incentive for production, correct, Mr. Chairman?
That's correct, and I believe...
owners of the
community
solar.
So the customer would get it?
Okay. That's correct.
Thank you, I guess, unless there are more questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question, and maybe somebody can just briefly explain to me the history behind why the 1 kilowatt.
That's not a question I can answer, unfortunately.
It looks like Mr. Evans is coming up. You can stay there.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Simonson, the 1 kilowatt came out of the program that we run in Colorado. That's actually just a new issue that we just sort of engaged on in the last day or two, so I haven't really sat down to figure out how hard we're invested in that. So, but we'll get that resolved in the next 24 hours or so, I think.
Next 12 hours?
Okay, next 12.
Nothing like a deadline. Further discussion of that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Hortman, can you remind me what was in the House language with respect to that, please?
Mr. Chair, Representative Simonson, I think probably Aaron Stojan Rockalo.
Well done.
Finally. Could explain it better than I could.
Yeah, the subscription size, there wasn't a minimum subscription size actually specified in the in the House language.
Anything else on community solar? Okay, are there other things that people wanted to hear about on the committee? We should probably adjourn for tonight and adjourn to the call of the chair, which will be you. Is there further discussion from many members of the conference committee at this time?
Of all the experts here, any questions?
Yes,
anybody
if you have
has?
Questions, now is the time to ask. And I think I don't know what percentage of the text, but you did grab a lot of it tonight. There's some other things that you need to
know. Maybe if I could ask for a little testimony on the limiting cumulative generation provisions. In the House, we have an off-ramp at 3%. In the Senate, they have an off-ramp at 5%. I imagine that the utilities have a preference between those two, and there's perhaps a reason for the preference.
And
the advocates may have a different point of view.
Mr. Evans.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, our preference would be 0%, meaning that we would like to be able to go to the Public Utilities Commission in anticipation of any of the problems that are listed in that section, which may arise without having to wait until we've reached a certain amount of penetration to, in order to raise those issues with the PUC. However, I think, you know, the 3% obviously is closer to 0 than 5%, so maybe I should just leave it at that.
Anybody else want to testify on that?
I think the original, the 5%, was in the governor's bill. I don't know if they're anybody from the who was involved in the drafting of the governor's bill wants to indicate why maybe 5% was picked as a number.
Welcome,
Mr. Chairman and members. Bill Grant for the Department of Commerce. Yes, 5% was the number that we had in our bill originally. Just as a reminder, for all of the years that Minnesota has had a net metering program in place since the early 80s, of all the states that have net metering, and most of them now do, we're dead last in terms of the amount of generation capacity that's been achieved under that program. And it was our feeling that, given that we had a ways to go before we would encounter the kinds of issues that I think people are imagining we might. So that was the reason for selecting the number that we did.
Is there discussion or questions on that? Other points you'd like to discuss?
my questions.
Well, we will. We are supposed to. They want us to wrap up our bill by
yesterday.
Midnight tomorrow night.
Okay. But well, we have a lot of work to do between now and then. Any further discussion? If not, we will adjourn to the call of the House Chair. Thank you very much.